This is Monday, the 12th of October. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show is live and local. And some tuba music today. We have not one, but two tubists with us on the show. Andy Rummel is professor of tuba and euphonium at the Illinois State University in Normal. He's giving a solo recital tomorrow night at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts in Normal. That's at a pre-program at 8 o'clock. And then Mark Moore, who is tuba professor at the University of Illinois School of Music and also one of Andy's teachers, is performing with the University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra Friday night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. It happened that both of them were available to come on the show today, so we'll hear some small bits solo from Andy and some duets between the two, and I think we'll have a recording of Andy from his military band days. It's all on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was music for the lowest instrument in the string family, the double bass, in fact, quite a few double basses. This is from a disc called The London Double Bass Sound, with, as it sounds, bass players from all over London, the major orchestras there, and some of the gigging bass players as well, joining together in Jerome Kern's Old Man River from Showboat, the musical. Conductor here was Jeffrey Simon, and Daryl Runswick, the arranger heard on WYLL's Live and Local here on FM 90.9. And I played that because we're going to be hearing from the lowest member of the brass family of the orchestra, the tuba, on the program live in our studio from two different tuba players who are actually teacher and student, and both of them professors in area universities. Mark Moore is at the University of Illinois. Andy Rummel is at the Illinois State University, and they're with us today to do a little bit coming up before too long on this hour and talking about the tuba and wherever else conversation takes us. Thought I'd play a little bit from music that Andy Rummel played when he was in the United States Air Force Heritage of America Band, based at Langley Air Force Base in Virginia, Major Larry H. Lang, commander and conductor. Here are a couple of movements from a dance rhapsody for tuba and band by Aldo R. Forte, hoping I'm saying his name right. The two movements we're going to hear are called Grooves and Animations, and it's a through-composed work, so we'll probably be catching it right in the midst of things, and I'll try to fade into this here. Andy Rummel is the tubist. He also teaches at Illinois State University, and he'll be playing solo for us here in a little bit on Live and Local. We heard music by Aldo R. Forte. Am I saying that name right, I hope? Who wrote that, I assume, for the band? Did he write it for you, by any chance?
He wrote it for me.
He wrote it for you. And you, in this case, is Andy Rummel, who at the time was a senior airman with United States Air Force Heritage of America Band, based at Langley Air Force Base, Virginia. We heard two movements, the final two movements, Grooves and Animations, from Forte's Dance Rhapsody for Tuba and Band. Andy Rummel is professor of tuba and euphonium at Illinois State University in Normal. He's giving a recital on campus tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts, and he's on the show with us today here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you very much for coming over for this.
Thank you for having me.
And Andy happened to be in town for a lesson with one of his teachers, who is Mark Moore, who is a professor of tuba and euphonium at the University of Illinois School of Music. As it happens, Mark is giving a concert this Friday evening. He is soloing with the University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Don Schleicher conducting Friday night at 7:30. And it just happened to work out both of you guys were able to come in. So they both brought their tubas, which we will hear Andy a little bit solo and both of them together later on. Thanks for coming in, Mickey.
Our pleasure.
And I confess I forgot to bring in the program for Friday night's concert. What are you going to be playing with the University Orchestra?
I'm playing the John Stevens Tuba Concerto entitled Journey. It was commissioned by the Chicago Symphony 10 years ago and premiered by Gene Picorni, the tubist in the Chicago Symphony. And it's a wonderful piece. It was written for the contrabass tuba, the one we usually play in orchestra, which is different than the bass tuba, which is the smaller tuba of the two. And it's a major work. It's very long and very, very involved rhythmically. John Stevens always has lots of rhythmic influences in his music. And I've heard lots of influences of Stravinsky in the concerto also. So I've been looking forward to playing it with an orchestra. I played it on a recital about 5 years ago, and I've always wanted to play it with an orchestra. So when Don Schleicher asked me to play, I said, I've got the tune.
So he just said, would you play with the orchestra, and then you suggested the piece?
Yes.
Since you mentioned this, you told me something I didn't really know, that it's not the bass tuba that's normally with an orchestra. What's the difference?
The size of the instrument. In Germany, the standard orchestral tuba player will play the bass tuba, which is usually an F in Germany. In the United States, the standard American orchestra tuba is the contrabass tuba, which is usually C in the United States.
And
it's a little bit larger.
It's larger. Does that also mean it plays lower?
No. It's just a difference in sound.
Bigger sound, generally?
Yes.
Depending upon what the amount of air the player is putting through it.
Yes.
Somebody could make a bass tuba, I'm sure, sound louder than the contrabass.
It's not a matter of volume, but a sound of the instrument, the timbre.
Does that reflect generally a difference in attitude about on a part of American orchestras about what a tuba and brass section should sound like generally, or not really?
No, I don't think so. I think with a lot of tuba players in the United States, it's about a preference of what kind of instrument they want to be playing. I mean, there's not a gold standard of certain type of instrument that guys and gals will play in orchestras. It's just pretty much their personal preference. So it's much more involved, I think, over in Europe, where the tuba players, most of them play a specific type of instrument, the bass tuba, like Professor Moore was mentioning there. So.
Just because that's the way it is, really.
It's more tradition than anything else. In South America, when I was there on tours, they all play B-flat tubas, which are a contrabass tuba. But that's because that's what they have.
And from a listener's point of view, it really doesn't make any difference what key they're in.
No.
You know that.
99.9% of the time, you wouldn't even be able to tell the difference.
Now, I'm looking at your two tubas sitting here in the studio, and yet again, it would be really handy to have a camera on radio. Not that it would go very far, but a music stand is obscuring part of Andy's at the moment. But they look very different from each other, not just because one is brass and, well, one looks brassy and the other looks silvery. What do you have, Mickey, and what have you got, Andy?
Well, actually, they're both European tubas. Mine is a Swiss tuba, and it's a piston valve, but it's a bass tuba. It's pitched in F. And it just happens to be piston valve. And Andy's tuba was made in Germany, and it's a rotary valve. The Germans more traditionally would always play rotary valve instruments.
So if people are familiar with what a trumpet looks like, and you see, you know, the valves they push down, that is a piston valve. It actually goes up and down in a tube.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got there, Mickey, on yours. And then the rotary is... There is a tube, except you press this lever, and it's connected to a string or sometimes mechanical. Mm-hmm. I can't tell which one yours is.
Yeah, this one is a mechanical linkage. And actually, instead of the valve depressing vertically, the valve is spinning inside of a casing. So it's aligning the ports in the instrument by spinning and not by traveling up and down. It's but typically found on a French horn or a horn is the type of valve, right. Rotary valves is what a horn player would use.
Although some Europeans will play on piston valve horns. But but again, for the listener, it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
Hopefully neither of them is sufficiently noisy that it makes it out, the valve mechanism is sufficiently noisy that it makes it very far out to the audience. What's on your program? And you're doing a solo recital tomorrow night.
Yes. I am opening up with a Baroque concerto that I transcribed, or actually one of my students transcribed from the cello literature. And it actually it's by Henry Eccles, who was a British Baroque composer back in the day. And there was transcriptions done for viola and violin and bass and cello, horn.
All of the same piece.
Of the same exact piece, saxophone, and none for tuba. So one of my very adventurous students did a transcription of that. It's a four-movement sonata, beautiful piece. The next piece I'm playing is a piece from the French horn repertoire entitled Nocturno by Franz Strauss. Very beautiful, lush, very lovely piece, lots of rubato, not very strict metronomic tempo throughout. I'm ending my first half with a newer concerto written by a British composer named Martin Ellerby. He's a younger composer from the England area, and he writes a lot for brass band and wind band over in England. And his tuba concerto, I think, was written in 96, possibly. It's a two-movement piece, again, through composed, slow movement and then fast movement. Wonderful piece.
Actually, I think I just played some of Martin Ellerby's music on this show, and I'm now trying to remember what that was for. It was like in the last 2 weeks.
There was he has a wind band piece called Paris Sketches, which is very popular.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Which is a multi-movement symphonic piece for wind band. Great composer. So, in the second half, I'm playing a I would call it a new piece. It was written in 1980, I think, by a composer named Tom Ritter George, who teaches in Idaho now. But it's a sonata for tuba and piano, fairly contemporary. Several of the movements are sans measures, so there's no bar lines, there's no meter, and he kind of groups notes as the melody sees fit. So he's not really inhibited with any, or not really boxed in by any certain type of meter or any bar lines or anything like that. So very challenging piece for my pianist and for me as well. And then I'm playing a duet by a jazz pianist named Roger Kellaway, who's written a number of things for the tuba world. And he's actually written several tuba duets. This duet's called Sonoro for horn, tuba, and piano. I'm being joined by one of my old classmates from when I was an undergrad who's coming to play horn on the recital. And then I'm ending with a lovely tango by Astor Piazzolla entitled Inverno Porteño.
Oh, that's really interesting, because that's a tune that's been on my mind lately, because the Prairie Ensemble is going to be doing a quintet version of that couple of weeks. That's my favorite of his Four Seasons tunes. It's really, really very beautiful piece. And so are all those accompanied? Or
yes,
is any of those
all of them are accompanied by my pianist that I normally use, who's named Gloria Cardoni-Smith. She works at Illinois Wesleyan full-time as a staff accompanist there, and then accompanies several of the faculty artists at Illinois State as well.
But you did bring your tuba along, planning to play some excerpts from
without
accompaniment.
I did.
So why don't you do that?
Alrighty.
What did you think you might do?
I thought that I would do a movement, actually the first movement from the Henry Eccles Sonata. This is entitled Largo.
And this is tubist Andy Rummel, who teaches at Illinois State University, tuba and euphonium, giving a recital tomorrow night. And he's sitting right here in our studio, playing for us on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Mm-hmm.
music by Henry Eccles, right? A British Baroque composer, played here by Andy Rummel, originally for cello, I think you said. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like it works perfectly well on its own without accompaniment.
It does. There's actually very few parts of this piece are actually a spot where I'm playing that the piano's not playing, or vice versa. It's the piano is simply providing almost a rhythmic type of accompaniment, a harmonic type of accompaniment underneath the piece. So,
was the piece originally accompanied, or was it for solo cello?
Yeah, it was originally accompanied.
Actually, just you're playing it right now reminded me of some of the Bach suites for solo cello, mm-hmm. where there is no accompaniment. Mm-hmm. Sure. I'm sure the tubists play those things.
Oh, yes.
With some regularity. It seems like a lot of instruments will play those. I remember as a horn player, I used to love to play certain movements, not the ones that jumped around too much.
Well, Bach is good. If we have to steal it, that's okay.
Well, you know, actually, Andy's rundown of the program suggested that the tubists do a lot of stealing to find music to play from all genres, because when did the tuba come into being?
I've seen different claims to saying when it was invented. It all happened with the invention of the valve. And most people say around 1845, 1855, somewhere in that area. And so we don't have any Baroque music that was ours, so we'll just take it.
We don't have any classical music that was ours either, so we steal that as well.
You know, I have played bassoon music and cello music and oboe music, and I love to steal voice songs too. I've played Brahms and Mahler and Strauss, and even Mussorgsky. I did some bass arias from Boris Godunov one time.
Well, I was thinking, if you're going to steal from opera, that sounds like there's not that many bass roles, starring bass roles that aren't comic.
Yeah.
And I would think there'd be some great stuff there for. I just played at the outset some double basses from London doing Jerome Kern's Old Man River. You done that in the tuba? Seems like it would work.
It has. There is an arrangement of that for tuba and piano, and it's actually been recorded.
Okay.
There you go. Something to whip out for your next recital. We're talking with two professors of tuba. Andy Rummel teaches at Illinois State University in Normal, both tuba and euphonium, and is giving a recital tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the Center for the Performing Arts on the ISU campus. Mark Moore is professor tuba at University of Illinois School of Music and is going to be playing the John Stevens Concerto with the University of Illinois Symphony on Friday evening at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. And since so far we have heard Andy twice, we heard him performing with the Heritage of America Air Force Band earlier, and just heard solo. And since Mickey said he did not plan to play solo today, I'm going to remedy that with something that I happened to find on my colleague Roger Cooper's desk. This is a performance that Mickey played with the Prairie Ensemble in April of probably the most famous of all tuba concertos, the one by Ralph Vaughan Williams. And here is the opening movement. Mark Moore was soloist just last April, and you're hearing it on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Thank you. That was a performance of the first movement of the Tuba Concerto of Ray Vaughan Williams. Mark Moore, soloist, with the Prairie Ensemble, conducted by myself, Kevin Kelly, from this past April at First United Methodist Church in downtown Champaign. And a bit of a surprise for Mark, because you said you hadn't heard that performance.
I hadn't heard it yet.
How did it sound?
Okay.
I imagine like any performer, it can be difficult to hear yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're always correcting things.
Very difficult to hear yourself sometimes, depending on how the performance went.
Well, and even if it went really well, a discerning performer is going to find something, and sometimes it's difficult not to focus on the thing that went wrong or that you didn't quite, you would rather have done some other way.
I think that the minute we stop trying to find things to improve on, that's when we stop improving. So if we are completely satisfied with what it is that we're playing, we are ceasing to grow as musicians, I feel.
We're always striving to get better. I remember, and you also know him, my teacher, Arnold Jacobs, mm-hmm. told me one time that his one of the best performances of his life, and he gave me the date. And my lessons were in the 70s and the 80s, and it was some September in 1957 when the Chicago Symphony played at Orchestra Hall in Boston Symphony Hall, and said it was the perfect concert. And I said, well, what do you do after that? He says, we keep trying to do it again. You know, but, I mean, he remembered the time that everything went perfectly for the orchestra, and they all the whole orchestra felt like this is the best concert they ever played. And I said, what do you do from now on? You know, you keep trying to do it again.
So it can be frustrating sometimes, you know, for any performer who you're always trying to get better and you never quite get where you want to be, I guess. But then when you have one of those performances like that that are real jewels, that's an amazing experience.
Yeah.
All seems worth it then, right?
Well, every time there's always something we can do and say, well, you know, we did a very good job, you know. No matter what standard you have, you know, you just keep saying, "Well, I'm gonna keep trying to get better," but this was really good tonight.
What is particularly difficult on a tuba to play?
I would say the number one issue is trying to remain light and delicate on such a large, very full bass voice instrument. Another thing that's also quite challenging is just the breath support that it takes. It's surprisingly that the two wind instruments that take the most air are the flute and the tuba. The flute, because you're blowing over the tone hole where the air is just blowing over the instrument, and in the tuba you're blowing through 18, 20 feet of tubing to try to be able to sustain those sounds. And in my mind is what I think is pretty challenging. What do you think?
Well, I agree. You know, the challenge is getting the air moving. And also, I agree, I like what you said, trying to get rid of the stereotypes. Every time I play, if at least one person in the orchestra comes up to me and says, oh, I didn't know the tuba could sound like that, then I feel I've been successful and done my job.
Well, the movement that I didn't play, well, there's two other movements to that Vaughan Williams concerto. The second one is one of the most beautiful lyric movements in music, as far as I'm concerned. And I remember you played that particularly beautifully, Mickey, on that concert.
We live for that moment, you know, to show somebody what, you know, we have the same feelings as everyone else. We just don't want to sit in the back of the orchestra and play loud. Sometimes that's what we have to do, but, you know.
Do you ever get tired of one of the stereotypes of tubas that exists, that, you know, all tubas or tuba players are funny, or that there's something funny about the tuba, sort of like the bassoon, you know? Sometimes people will chuckle, oh, you're going to play solo on a tuba? Do you get much of that, or are they just
daily? Yeah. In fact, when I was dating my wife, my now wife, she is a non-musician, and for probably the first year that we were together, whenever anybody would ask what her boyfriend did or what her fiance did, she would laugh and say he's a tuba player, and she thought it was comical for several years while we were together. But
and yet you married her,
and we've been married for 5 years. So, I think, like Professor Moore said, we're breaking stereotypes, because the first piece written for tuba and orchestra was Tubby the Tuba by George Kleinschmidt, Kleinhammer, I think.
Kleinzinger.
That's it. Which, if anybody has ever seen or heard that, is a very humorous piece about a tuba who doesn't get a melody, and then they bring in Pippo the Piccolo, and it's this very comical thing, and it's... I think people associate that with the life of a tuba player. Well, Tubby the Tuba. And even though the Vaughan Williams Tuba Concerto that we just heard was the first concerto written for tuba and orchestra, it was not the first piece written for tuba and orchestra. And I think that's why we have to try to break that stereotype continually, again and again.
Well, the Vaughan Williams, both a dramatic and a beautiful piece. And it's as though Vaughan Williams, in writing it, had none of that stereotype in mind, you know, just wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
so.
It's not there at all.
I think he accepted it and, you know, wrote beautiful music, which is all we want to do.
Speaking of, you're going to play some together in just a moment. We're talking with Andy Rummel, who teaches tuba and euphonium at Illinois State University, and Mark Moore, who teaches the same two instruments at University of Illinois. And as it happens, both are performing this week. Tomorrow night, Andy's giving a solo recital in Normal at the ISU Center for the Performing Arts. That starts at 8 o'clock, a free program, I assume.
There's an admission fee, I think $6 for adults, $4 for students and children.
Okay. And then Mark is performing Friday night with the University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra, a big work by John Stevens. Part of a larger program, of course. That's at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, and there's a very reasonable admission charge for that as well. We'll hear them play live together in just a moment here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our program today is made possible with support from Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713. I want to run down briefly some of the other concerts and performances going on in the next couple of days that people can go out and see and hear. Actually, on my calendar, which is by no means nearly complete, I don't have anything to mention for tonight, but tomorrow, in addition to Andy's recital, there's a performance at the University of Illinois Assembly Hall of the musical version of the film The Wedding Singer. That is in Urbana on U of I campus, 7:30 tomorrow. The Decatur Municipal Band is performing tomorrow night at the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Decatur. That is at 7:30 tomorrow night. The Station Theater in downtown Urbana is presenting a one-woman show. It's called My Name is Rachel Corey. That's at 8 o'clock Wednesday. And then at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night, percussionist Dame Evelyn Glennie, is performing with the Orchestra of Sao Paulo, Brazil. That is Wednesday night, 7:30. And I'll actually be airing an interview I did with the touring conductor of the Orchestra de Sao Paulo, Kazim Abdullah, who is a very young American conductor. I think he's all of 30, and seems to be one of the up-and-coming conductors. I'll air that on this show on Wednesday. And then also Wednesday at the Krannert Center, the University of Illinois Department of Theater is presenting Sam Shepard's Buried Child. They began performances last week. And on tomorrow's show, I'll be speaking with the director of that Shepard play, Lisa Gay Dixon. We'll be on the show tomorrow, as well as, and I'm just blanking on who's my other guest on the show tomorrow. Well, I guess I'll have to tell you later on once it comes back into my memory. Those are some of the things you can see and hear. If you'd like to let us know about your performance or about your performing organization, write to me at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar@illinois.edu. You guys ready to play?
Sure.
Sure.
Why not? They actually practiced this earlier this morning since Andy was over for a lesson with Mickey. I want to talk about that relationship coming up later, but here they are in a performing relationship. What are we going to hear? Do we have a couple things?
We do. We have two very different duets. The first is a flute duet that was written by Nicholas Chedeville, entitled Les Syncopées. And then we'll introduce the next one when we get there.
Now, wait, before you play this thing, a flute duet on the tuba.
We steal from everywhere.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, usually people steal from kind of like instruments, like the cello or the bass or, you know, the
flute. We like the flute.
Like that.
That's like.
Yeah. Well, so am I going to guess that this is fairly virtuosic? Or at least moves around a lot?
It's a Baroque duet. It's actually, the arranger was a former tuba student of John Stevens. His name is Ken Singleton. And he took all these flute duets and arranged them for the tuba. And we like them, so we play them.
So play it. Andy Rummel and Mark Moore here on Live and Local. Originally for flutes, performed on tubas. That was, again, the composer?
Nicholas Chedeville. French. He lived from 1705 to 1782.
What was the thumbs up there?
We were discussing when he lived. So I looked him up on the internet and found him.
Oh, while you were sitting here?
No, before we got here.
Well, you can't do that on the phones anymore.
Yes.
So I'm doing that sort of thing all the time and irritating my friends by doing it. We heard Mark Moore, professor of tuba at the University of Illinois, and Andy Rummel, who's professor of tuba at Illinois State University. just down the road in Normal. And you're listening to them and me here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Now, you both teach euphonium. How much do you play the instrument, or have you played the instrument in the past? And why do those instruments get grouped together instead of euphonium with trombone?
Well, the mouthpieces are the same. The trombone and the euphonium mouthpiece are about the same size. But the trombone has the slide and the euphonium has the valves. So the euphonium and the tuba are actually the same family, just different octaves. The euphonium's up one octave from the tuba.
And are there other instruments in that family, or is pretty much those two?
Well, actually, I've even seen a soprano tuba.
Really? So yes. What does that look like?
It's a very small instrument played by a trumpet player.
Oh, really?
Ronnie Rahm has one.
Ronnie Rahm is on the University of Illinois faculty of Canadian brass fame. And is that so then, is that smaller than a euphonium?
Yes, up another octave.
Wow. That would be interesting to have him come in sometime and see. So if we had, this would be really cool to have a soprano tuba, a euphonium, and a bass tuba.
We're talking about that.
Are you really?
We're talking about it.
So who would be the euphonium player?
Professor Chasnoff.
The trombone professor.
Has a euphonium.
So oh, that would be a trip.
We're talking about putting something on one of our quintet concerts.
Well, let me know when you whip that up. I'll have to drag you guys in here because I think that might be a lot of fun for listeners to hear. I think it would be fun. Andy, what about you? Do you have what kind of euphonium experience do you have?
So I'm a closet euphonium player. I think when Professor Moore was talking about putting the euphoniums with the tuba, the concepts of playing the euphonium are nearly identical with the tuba. It's just a little bit less of everything. You know, the euphonium plays an octave higher, but the breathing concepts, the embouchure concepts, is virtually identical between the two instruments. So I think a lot of times that's why you will see euphonium and tuba grouped together in one studio at the collegiate level. Not always the case, but very oftentimes the euphonium and tubas are paired together by one instructor.
Am I correct that the euphonium and the instrument commonly called the baritone are the same? Or
yes.
Not entirely?
Well, they're not entirely the same. There's a difference in the sound of the instruments because of the way they're made. And actually, in the British Brass Band, they have both instruments. You'll have a baritone section and a euphonium section. The euphonium usually has a larger bore and a little more mellow sound, and the baritone has a smaller bore and a little brighter sound.
Is that kind of like the difference between a bass tuba and a contrabass tuba?
I mean, more like the difference between a cornet and a trumpet.
Okay, so they're constructed slightly differently and have a different sound, but you play them exactly the same.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Same key and all that stuff.
Yes. Yeah,
now, what about this instrument called the Wagner tuba, which probably most listeners haven't heard of?
You know all about that because it's played by horn players. It's not really a tuba, and actually the German word is Tuben, T-U-B-E-N. And Wagner did get them to be made, but they're played by horn players. And I've gotten lots of questions about the Wagner tuba, and the easiest answer is it's not really a tuba. They're in the keys of F and B flat and played by members of the horn section. There's quite a few parts in the Wagner operas, also several parts in the Bruckner symphonies, and also even in Stravinsky's Rite of Spring has tuban parts.
So you'll have a whole bunch of horn players and then a bunch more horn players playing this Wagner tuba.
And actually, I got to play with a bunch of tubans one time. I was at a horn workshop at Louisiana State University in Baton Rouge, and Alec Wilder wrote a wonderful piece, a nonet, for four horns, four tubans, and one tuba. And I got to play that. It was loads of fun. Dale Clevenger was conducting it. And the principal horn part is a really screaming high part. So Rick Todd, one of the freelancers from L.A., was playing the top horn part.
And Dale Clevenger's principal horn was the Chicago Symphony
yes.
Orchestra. And also does a fair amount of conducting. I think he's got an orchestra up in Chicagoland. And you brought another tune. You said it was going to be rather different.
Completely different. This is from a book called Jazz for Two, several different jazz duets in various styles. I use this a lot with my students for sight reading practice in each lesson. My students either love these duets or they don't love these duets. But this one is a funk tune, and it is called Bob Is Not My Uncle.
And why would they love or hate them?
I think the not love aspect comes from maybe an unfamiliarity of reading jazz rhythms, and maybe the tuba players aren't typically found in jazz ensembles. We an area that we may be lacking in, or some students may be lacking in, is the reading of the jazz notation and the feel of jazz music as you're going through. So I think this is a great way to introduce students to a very similar musical language that's maybe spoken a little bit differently than what we're used to.
But there's no improvisation in these tunes.
No. This is not intentional.
Well, let's see how this goes then. Again, the composer?
The composer is...
we have to check that.
Vince Gassi.
Okay, a household name in most areas.
Rolls off the tongue.
Andy Rummel with Mark Moore performing here in Live and Local on FM 90.9. Why would you not like to play that?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that sounds like a trip. Actually, reminds me a little bit of there's at least one trio for horn, tuba, and piano by Alec Wilder.
Two.
Are there two of them?
There are two of them, yeah.
I played one of them when I was, I think, a sophomore on a recital. And there's at least one movement that is very jazzy in kind of that way, which I thought was a real trip to play.
Oh, they're loads of fun, yeah.
Andy Rummel, you're currently a student of Mark Moore.
Yep.
And having studied with a number of other people before, mm-hmm. as most people do, you go through a series of teachers, and you're working on finishing up a doctorate here at the University mm-hmm. of Illinois. I hope that you feel comfortable saying this. Compared to some of what you've gotten from previous teachers, what do you think that you're taking particularly from his teaching?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what I am getting. First, I've a great friend. I met Professor Moore about 4 years ago when I moved back to the Illinois area, and we hit it off rather instantly. And he's become a very close friend, and I respect that a lot. I think the student-teacher relationship, there needs to be a bit of a friendship involved there. I'm not saying we go out and hang out together all the time, but it's when you're working so closely with a teacher, it's nice to have a kind of a personal relationship there. So that I'm getting that from Professor Moore. The second thing that I appreciate very much is that he pulls out the magnifying glass on a lot of the pieces of music and notices things that I may be glossing over. For instance, if I have a run of 50 16th notes, he'll point and say, you know what, I didn't hear those two as cleanly as I heard the others. And I'll be like, how about that? All right. Thank you. So whereas I think sometimes I might be a little bit of a big picture person, I'm very thankful for Mr. Moore for being able to pull that magnifying glass out and find the things that I may be glossing over.
Which actually seems appropriate. If you've studied for a long time, you've had other teachers, you've gotten to the point where you're a professor as well as he is, and so you want those details to be discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Because hopefully at this point of the stage of your game, that's what's left to work on,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Well, Andy's a wonderful tuba player already. You've already heard that.
That's obvious, yeah.
You know, and so, you know, it's
So what do you get from him?
Oh, he's a beautiful player. Yeah, he comes into his lessons and he plays. Like he said, he's got a beautiful lyrical sound and is always experimenting, always looking for other areas. He's brought in things that I hadn't even thought about playing, just transcriptions from other instruments. And it's always lots of fun.
Because the ideal teacher-student relationship doesn't go one way.
Oh, no.
You know,
not at all.
So many fine teachers always say they get something from all the students they work with, or it wouldn't be a rewarding relationship.
Absolutely.
Well, we're very glad you both were available to come in today on relatively short notice, particularly Mickey. Thank you very much. And I hope we can help to get some folks out to both of your concerts. Andy Rummel is a professor of tuba and euphonium at Illinois State University in Normal. He's giving a solo recital tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Now, I say solo, but with piano and one horn player on one of the pieces. And that's at 8 o'clock at the Illinois State University Center for the Performing Arts in Normal. And then on Friday night, Mark Moore is performing John Stevens' concerto with the University of Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Friday night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. We'll be talking about the rest of that program with a couple of the students from the orchestra on this show on Wednesday.
Okay.
And as well as with the conductor of the Orchestra de Sao Paulo. And I remembered one my other guest tomorrow on Live and Local, Chet Always, who conducts the Baroque Artists of Champaign-Urbana. We'll be here to talk about their annual Bachtoberfest concert, and I think we'll hear a solo violin, Baroque violin performance as part of that conversation as well. And then also tomorrow, Lisa Gay Dixon on the show. She's director of the University of Illinois Department of Theater's production of Sam Shepard's Buried Child. They'll both be here from 12 to 1 on tomorrow's Live and Local. Coming up, weather forecast I'll have for you in just about a minute and a half. And news headlines at 101 from NPR. Julie Amacher has classical music for you starting at 106. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our programs today on Live and Local are made possible with support from Parkland Art Gallery at Parkland College. The gallery's exhibits illustrate a wide range of traditional and innovative work by contemporary artists of regional and national status. Exhibitions and educational programs are offered free of charge to the public.